Hello and welcome to episode number 11 of Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union. I'm Scott Beatty.
I'm Robert Rosenthal.
This is episode number 11.
It is.
We have a counting system where every episode is one after the previous one. But we had a bonus episode with Lucas Bird.
Yes.
And we just called it bonus episode. And that's created some confusion within the studio here at...
Yes.
At the Armory.
Yes.
So that doesn't count. Isn't it like 10.1? Is it 10.5? It was a video-only episode. If you missed it, go check it out at our YouTube only, where Lucas Bird breaks down his national championship bout last spring at the 133-pound to become a champion. I'm really appreciative you came up with that idea. But anyway, more importantly, administratively, it doesn't count in our episodes.
Yeah, because it doesn't go in the podcast feed. So it feels like the numbers need to stay with what's the podcast. And if there's a little extra video here and there, then there's a little extra video in here and there, but it doesn't count in the numbers. That's what I'm going with.
That's the minutia that people are here for.
I mean, they're fascinated right now. Like, they're like, oh, I never knew this. I'm calling my friend. Let's text the group chat and tell everyone that's how they number their episodes.
This is how we keep people engaged.
100%. You know how else we keep people engaged, Scott?
We tell them what we're going to do on this program.
Which is?
We're going to talk about some... Oh, okay. A lot to get into for today's episode. We've had basketball games, multiple basketball games for both the men and the women since in the last week. The winter sports have gotten going, so plenty to get. You were in Iowa City.
I was in Iowa City.
For the road win for Illinois Hoops against the Hawkeyes, who apparently play some defense now.
Something like that. Yeah, no more Fran.
That's a new thing. But first, let's bring in Maisie, who's at the controls again, our producer. You're back. It's great to see you. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm happy to be back.
Yes. I hope you had a good... Last time we talked, you were going to go to New York City.
Yes, so, I went, and it was great.
What was a highlight or two?
Highlight or two, I went to go visit my friend who's a dancer in New York. She's at the Juilliard School. So I had to go see her for her senior year. She was fantastic. And then, of course, dance-themed trip. I wasn't too excited about seeing the Rockettes for some reason, but the Christmas Spectacular was amazing, and I think everybody needs to go see it at some point in their life.
I've seen it.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
I've seen it.
I actually have not.
Yes. I mean, everybody's got to see the toy soldier thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's part of Christmas in the United States. At some point, you got to see the Rockettes do the toy soldier thing. Mm-hmm. Is that what they call it? What is it called?
Yeah.
You know, they spin the line and then the... No? Toy soldiers?
Yeah, it's called the toy soldier. I think that part's the soldier fall, the toy soldier fall. Yeah.
Yes.
We can talk tubists and the St. Louis Symphony. We can talk the Rockettes and Radio City. This is a full service podcast.
100%. Yes.
100%. All right. Well, Maisie, while you were gone, I don't know if you knew this, but Illinois football won a bowl game, and basketball teams have won some significant games. So
I don't know if you realize this, but you were experiencing about the best student sports experience possible. I'm sure you get this, but for you to have two ranked basketball teams and a football team winning 10 games and 9 games, it is unprecedented.
This is one of your elders at the family get-together.
That's right.
You don't know how...
You kids don't know.
We walked uphill both ways to school.
I had, in my 5 years here, I had one NCAA tournament win, which was 1993 beating Long Beach State. And I had how many bowl wins? Just... 94, I think one bowl win, 94 Liberty Bowl, and that was it.
Yeah.
So I had one bowl win and one NCAA tournament win in my entire 5 years, and you have it a little better than that.
Yeah, I do not take it for granted. My dad went to school here, and every single day he tells me how lucky I am and not to forget it, and I am. I mean, I've experienced, three bowl games now in my time at school here. An Elite Eight run, that was... You should have seen Cam's. I think you guys would have been impressed. It was a great time.
Were you there for like the Sweet 16 game?
Yes, I was.
That had to be. I saw videos. Mm. That's like the best campus bar moment in like of the last 10 years.
Yeah, absolutely. It was, the entire place was, people were on the tables. My friend was basically dragging me onto the floor with her. It was crazy, but it was so much fun. It's been a blast here, and especially the upcoming women's basketball team too. Now, finally on the poll, I've been really hoping for them these past few weeks, but it's been great. So lucky to be here at this time. I don't take it for granted, I promise.
Well, great to have you back, and you and Ella have been instrumental in helping us get things going here, so we really appreciate it. So that's a good jumping off point there. Number 25 for the Illini women.
Yep.
They defeated Penn State yesterday in Happy Valley and won pretty handily. Let's see, where was
I thought they were going to get to 100. Like it was 92 70 something.
Yeah, 92-76.
92-76.
Which is a 16 point win.
Yes, it is.
But that, I know to you that's 20.
Yes, yes.
They just won by 20 because it's, you don't look at the second digit. You look at the first two digits.
Meaningless second digit.
but yeah, no, 92 in a Big Ten game. That's not too shabby. And they bounced back from two losses, albeit to two ranked teams on the road, Michigan State, and then at home against Ohio State. And I thought they might have a chance to finally crack the nut that is the Buckeyes.
Mm-hmm.
But the Buckeyes have one of the best players in the country, and Jelani Cambridge went off 41 points in front of Asia Wilson.
Yes, yes, and Bam.
And Bam Adebayo, her significant other.
Yes.
At some point, look, there were some shots that they needed to go in for the Illini, and I think that's a different outcome. But Cambridge was making some shots. Then what are you going to do? I always feel like in basketball, no matter what, the offense has the advantage. As soon as, because if you shoot the basketball, there's always the chance it goes in.
Yes.
She made some hard shots.
Yep.
She's a pro.
Yeah. And it's I felt a little bit bad because, you know, it was the Illini team who got Asia Wilson to come and do this. And then their opponent gets the like starring moment and take a few pictures with her and afterwards and this and that. But look, it's great. It was a great moment for the program. And even, you know, Brad Underwood, I guess, knew her from his short time at South Carolina as assistant for as an assistant under Frank Martin. So yet another great moment on this campus with, you know, here's two professional athletes at the top of their game sitting courtside in Champaign.
Plus, Bam Adebayo plays for the Heat, so obviously NBA, but also Kasper Siakoumoulis in the Heat organization. So the Underwoods did, Tyler and Brad did stop by and say hello, and it's all in the family there of basketball.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're sitting here talking to Maisie about, you know, boy, you don't know how good you kids have it. I mean, none of those moments were happening when I was in school. I thought they would be happening, but then after the Bruce Pearl sanctions and everything else, you know, both basketball programs were kind of dead while I was here in school, and there certainly weren't NBA players sitting courtside or anything like that. So it is, again, everywhere you turn, there's something new, there's something different, there's something better. It continues to amaze me.
So yesterday you were in Iowa City, but before we get into that, the game before that, Illinois here at home took care of Rutgers, disposed of the Rutgers Scarlet Knights 81-55. That is a 26-point margin of victory.
8X, 5X.
Yeah, but in your mind, it's a 30-point win.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I know Rutgers is not good this year, but I would still like to emphasize that Illinois held Rutgers to 16 points in the first half. It was 43-16 at the end of the half. Rutgers did not score for the final 8 minutes. Illinois went on a 20-0 run. And I want to remind you, Rutgers is a Big Ten team.
Yes.
Last year, they had two one-and-done players on their roster. It's not the same level of talent this year, but they're still a Big Ten team. How impressed are you with that?
It's probably the biggest shift in the last few weeks has been the defense. You could see that Rutgers was rattled of, you know, sometimes you can tell the media seats are great at Illinois. So you're right there just behind the bench. You can hear what the coaches are yelling. You can hear what some of the assistants are yelling. And you could tell Steve Peichel in that game was like frustrated with some of the, like, we're not getting to the spot to get the screen. We're not, like, what they're doing is messing with us. And you could tell he was frustrating, and he kept going to his assistants, and, you know, he kept yelling, rip through, trying to get them to get certain screens. They just couldn't get into their offense. Oh,
when you rip through?
Yes. Yeah. You know, yeah, the ripping of yeah. the through.
It's
yes.
You don't know what ripping is, do you?
Yes, because I texted Tyler during the game, because Tyler knows his basketball, and I'm like, when he's saying rip through, is he talking about screen? Like, what's he wanting, you know, what's he wanting Nine to do here? And Tyler and I talked about it, and then I was watching it, and they, what Illinois was doing on defense was just messing with what they wanted to set up on offense. And that's kind of the thing that we've seen emerge. We saw a lot of frustration yesterday from Iowa, especially from Sturts, of they're trying to get into the things that worked in the non-conference, and they just can't get it to flow. And
because that's of the ripping.
Yes, because of the defense preventing the rips, preventing these screens, Scott. So it was it's been a real big shift to, hey, maybe this team won't be so bad on defense. And if that's the case, then this team has a ton of potential. Look, 2024, we all knew that the issue was going to be defense. It came out in a terrible way with a 30-0 UConn run. But there was this known thing in 2024, if you go use the KenPom efficiency numbers, nationally, the offense was third nationally. The defense that year was 80th. And so you knew that this was an issue. You know, at some point, probably the defense was going to catch up to that team. They would have to outscore everybody, and UConn's 30-0 run ended that season really quickly. Right now on KenPom, offense is third, defense is 16th, and that's up from somewhere in the 20s. So 16th best, most efficient defense in the country. And if a team is top 20 in both, that team has Final Four potential. If people follow KenPom and what those numbers have meant historically, if you're top, you know, there's a whole bunch of stats of like how many Final Four teams have been top 25 in both. If you're top 10 in both, you're almost assured of at least an Elite Eight run because you are good at both. And as of right now, Illinois is third on offense and 16th on defense. That is an Elite Eight team. That's a team that has a chance at a Final Four run, just going by the efficiency numbers. So it is really impressive what the shift they've made on defense and how this, you know, could really point somewhere.
Well, the players have used or gone back to the Nebraska loss as a stake in the ground of it's going to be different from here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a bit of a wake up for them. Not that Nebraska's bad, by the way, because mm-hmm. they're undefeated
yep.
and their metrics are up there now. But also, if they weren't awoken up. You're the guy that writes.
Well, Maisie's in school. Maybe we should ask Maisie. Awakened. I think it's awakened. Woken.
I think it would probably be awoke. Right? Maybe.
We could Google this.
Hashtag awoke.
Anyway, this is content that...
Oh, 100%. This is the good stuff, Scott.
Awoke is the simple past mm-hmm. of awake, mm-hmm. while awakened is the past tense and past participle.
Obviously, so I remember what past participle means, obviously. You tell me what you think it means.
I mean, if you already know what rips are, I don't think I need to explain this to you.
I'm going to rip through a past participle. Anyway, continue.
Look, that was a moment that changed things, that yes. loss to Nebraska.
Yes.
And Nebraska's a good team, but if it didn't awaken the player right then, I've heard that the practices afterwards did.
Yes.
And Brad Underwood knows that you can't be a great offense and just be so-so on defense. You have to be elite, and he's demanding it. And the players are starting to say, we're seeing the payoff. they're starting to buy in on it. Andre Stojakovic has grown in it. Kylan Boswell is, I think, came in as a good defender. He's at another level. You have the rim protection from Zvonimir Ivicic. Tomislav Ivicic is also out there. He's not quite the shot alterer as Zvonimir is, mm-hmm. but he's still 7'1" and can be all over the floor. So yeah, this team is showing its potential to be Final Four capable, to be in the category of a Final Four team, I should say, mm-hmm. with their metrics. We do know that, again, according to the metrics, you're playing the softer part of your schedule.
Sure.
They still, at the end of the month, will go to Purdue. They will go back to Nebraska. They got to go to Michigan State, which is a good team, and they're always tough to win there in Breslin. You have the California trip, which no matter how well or not they're playing, that's a long trip and all the things that come with that. But this is, I think, certainly showing itself to be the best team since the Elite Eight team two seasons ago. And I wouldn't put a cap on how far they could go in a tournament. We're sitting here in January.
Yep.
Do I have to caveat things when I say things like this?
I mean, I feel like you do because, look, I mean,
I'm the king of caveats, even more than you. You're the king of the backstory, but I'm trying to qualify so I don't get, well, yep. you didn't, you know, and I yep. know, mm-hmm. I know. I'm there, not saying
there's that crown them anything. Moment of, you know, there was that Wisconsin team a couple years ago that started like 19-2 and climbed to like number 5 in the mm-hmm. polls and then suddenly lost 8 of 9 or whatever. It's possible to gain it and then to lose it, or opponents figure something out and you turn around and like, oh, yeah, we don't really have an answer for that. And, you know, this is, we've seen Michigan go to that tournament in November and beat 3 great teams by 30 plus and look like they're going to go undefeated and win the national title. And now we've seen Michigan struggle with Penn State and lose to Wisconsin at home. So it comes and it goes and it ebbs and it flows. And ooh, that was a rhyme. I'm dropping bars over here. It comes and goes for every team, and you're going to have to adapt to some of the things that are going to happen here. But for now, especially after yesterday, it's a good Iowa team at home, and suddenly it's 21-5. And I said to somebody else today, like, that was from the fan side, in terms of the home crowd groaning, that was about as good as it gets. Like, there were so many moments in that game. Iowa hit the 2 big threes. What happens? Big Z hits 2 threes right on top of them. They're coming back into the game. Nope. Got to stop. Got to block. Got the rebound. Made the free throws. The crowd getting noisy. Like, if they could just miss a front end, Iowa could get back in. Nope. Made all 6 of the, you know, 1 plus the bonus free throw opportunities. It was just a great game of the crowd trying and trying and trying the whole game to will the home team back into it. They're ranked home team, and Illinois just shutting the door every time. So it was a lot of fun in there.
Well, I was really curious because there were two elements against Illinois about that game yesterday in Iowa. One was the early start, and they didn't get into the arena the night before because there was another event. And there's always the, do we wake up extra early to do shoot around, or do we get more normal cycle of sleep and get to the arena, you know, whatever it is, a couple hours ahead of time and get your shots in and go. And the other element was, I was anticipating this to be the toughest road environment that mm-hmm. Illinois has played in. They've played in, I guess Madison Square Garden. I mean, that was a UConn game. I mean, that was a UConn, pro-UConn crowd, I get.
Yep. Ohio State really wasn't.
Ohio State doesn't draw well, there, and it's a big, sleepy arena, in my opinion.
Yep.
It's just too big of a venue for that.
Penn State went to the Palestra, so it wasn't there.
It was more intimate.
Yeah.
You know, the fans are more on top of you, but it just not quite the same. So here's like maybe the toughest road environment you've seen so far. And they passed the test.
Yes.
And they came out with a near knockout punch in the first half. I looked at my phone because I went to church.
Mm-hmm.
Like I did the pregame show, but then I went over to church.
I love this.
And so
a little inside baseball here.
Yeah. So, well, you were at the game.
Yes.
No, I'm not doing one of those. I was. That's fine. But then, you know, I looked at my phone. I'm like, holy cow, it's 20-5.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got home and got caught up in the game and watched the rest of it.
Okay, now I need some details here. You're in the service. When do you check video, or are you checking just Score app on your phone?
I just checked Score app on my phone, and I waited intentionally until after service.
You waited until after service?
Yes.
No checks during service?
I did not.
Not
can't
a
say
single
I wasn't
one.
Tempted.
Okay.
But,
yeah,
but
I've done it. I mean,
I'm not saying I've never done it.
Yes,
I'm just saying I made that choice yesterday.
Okay,
can't say I'll do that again.
Okay, so what was the score when you checked it?
It was 20-5.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
And then we got that was about, I don't know, 11:30, I guess.
Sure.
And then we got in the car and we listened to Brian and Doug till we got home and
got it.
Then I do this combo radio TV thing, but
because
I obviously work on the radio side too, so I kind of like both.
You know, that's probably a whole podcast episode, because there are so many different ways of, there's so many different stories of checking scores.
Mm-hmm.
For example, 1999 Michigan football. It's the famous comeback. People call it the Rocky Harvey game. He had the diving into the end zone touchdown. Illinois was down something like 24-3 or something like that before the comeback started. It was the first time I experienced a phone blowing up. So I had a cell phone for maybe a year at that time, and I had a wedding to go to that afternoon. So I turn off the game when Michigan is up big. So I was just like, this one's over. Second quarter, it's already over. No chance. I go to the wedding ceremony. I go back to the car. I left my phone in the car because I don't think there was even Vibrate on cell phones in 1999.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, can't have this thing ringing in the service. So I just left it in the car. Get out to the car for the service, and I didn't even have voicemail yet, but I had so many missed calls. No texts yet, anything else. Just like my phone saying, you have missed 17 calls. And it's the first moment of like, oh man, like what has happened in the world here while I was, you know,
shouldn't
certainly
you
can't
had,
be the football game. Because
you have had 16 missed calls? You're one of 17?
That's well done. Well done. But yes, it was a moment. So there's so many different ways I've been, you know, that's a whole episode. I've been at wedding receptions where people are like huddling around a TV over in the corner trying to get the score of the game. You know, I was with some Arkansas fans at a wedding reception in their famous game against Tennessee where their quarterback fumbled in the final minute to prevent their conference championship and all this stuff. So there's a thousand stories out there of people checking scores or trying to watch here, or I'll just pull it up as soon as the service is over and that kind of thing. So
yeah,
put that on the list for the future.
Yeah, but that was an intentional choice, and I felt we're still relatively early in the Big Ten schedule.
Sure.
I could let a little bit of this go.
What would you do? So say Illinois is up to like 9 and playing at Nebraska in a couple weeks and you have something going on. Would you check? Where's the line that you're going to check mid-church service?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
Yeah. You got to think about it. It's just a gut call of like when to,
yeah,
when you need to know.
I think I know. The problem is if I start checking, then I'm checking out.
Yes, I get it. You've broken the seal, and now you're just going to, now you can check every 3 minutes.
Yeah, so
yep.
I think I have to be disciplined to not even open that up.
Look, I've seen people watching a early London NFL game like on a screen sitting on a pew thinking no one else can see that they're staring down watching the game. So technology has changed.
We're not shaming anybody here.
Not at all. Not at
In
all.
Fact,
we're very
that's
open
why you
about
go to
it.
Church.
That's right.
It's not because you're anyway.
That's right. That's right.
That's another episode also,
yes,
right?
But back to the Iowa
that's
game.
That's not why you called.
Back to the Iowa game. It was a great performance. Even the you knew Iowa was going to make a run. They did make a run. All the little things that happen in a road game started to happen, like a call that not only gets overturned, it turns into a hook and hold, which means it's Iowa getting two free throws and the ball, so suddenly they could cut it from 6 to 2 or 1. You had Zvonimir getting, I will say, tackled on two rebounds, but they called travels on both of them because they didn't look at the contact.
He fell on one of them.
Yes, yes.
He completely fell on one of them, right?
Yes. The other one was quite questionable. But the point is, like, those are the things in a Big Ten road game that happen. And how many times have Illinois fans seen those moments lead to that late loss? And this was just some steely resolve. Three times you're going to the line, up four. If you miss the front end, Iowa's going to have a chance to cut it to 2 or 1. And you made both free throws all three times. So fantastic road performance. And now, look, I looked this up today. The 22-23 season, Terrence Shannon's first year, Matthew Meyer, that team, they only won 3 Big Ten road games that year. Now, this team is 3-0 on the road in the Big Ten. So knock these road wins out, and you're really in great shape.
I don't know if you're familiar with Sean Harrington's standings.
Oh, he does that plus-minus thing?
Yeah, Sean Harrington's plus-minus. I think he's on to it. You give yourself +1 in the standings. It's not wins and losses. It's plus, give yourself sort of a point if you win on the road. Mm-hmm. Give yourself -1 if you lose at home. Yep. Sean Harrington, former Illini, great shooter. He theorizes that if you finish at 0 or +1 at the end of the 20-game schedule in conference, you're usually a tournament team.
Yep.
You're a tournament caliber team. If you're at +4 or +5, you're usually the winner of the Big Ten.
Yep.
So the idea is, if you could go 5-5 on the road at least and not lose a home game, you're probably a Big Ten champion. If you can do a little bit better on the road and maybe only lose 1 or 2, you know, you're probably a Big Ten champion.
Yep.
So the Illini are +3. In Sean Harrington's plus minus on the road, because of 3 road victories.
And then -1, I
guess. With a loss to Nebraska. Yeah. So they're in +2 territory, which points to what we know about them, that they're certainly a tournament team.
Yep.
And you can't be at +5 right away. I mean, you have to play the games to get up there. But the more you can learn that, we can win on the road, it should bode well. Because Northwestern on Wednesday night, that... How do you get around a cliche? Like, it doesn't matter. Whatever.
Doesn't matter what the records are.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter that they're 0-5.
Have you been up to the new Welsh Ryan?
I have not.
Okay.
Do you know this story? I refuse.
We have to have a story?
Yes, there is. I like the... I'm glad there's video of this so people can see the expression on your face.
No, it's fine.
It's not even a story.
I'm super interested. Watch.
Watch. This is going to go...
Look at me. How interested I am.
Maisie, start a timer on your watch or something. I'm going to do this in less than 30 seconds. This is really easy. I have been to every Big Ten football stadium except for Maryland. I haven't covered a game at Maryland. And I've been to every Big Ten basketball arena, not the California ones, but we'll get there, except for Welsh Ryan. I refuse to go to Welsh Ryan. I still want to be there. I won't enjoy it. It won't be fun. People in purple cheering, I won't like it. I won't enjoy it. I won't do it. So Tyler covers every Northwestern game. The end. How'd we do?
All right. I got 22 seconds. I missed, I think, the first two. So I was really good, Robert.
Under 30 seconds.
Okay.
Under 30.
Can I counterpoint that?
Yes.
What if that's dumb?
It is dumb. It's stupid. It's stupid. It's to cover a game. But I just, every time I think of it, I'm like, I can't. I would just be sitting there, like, grinding my teeth. I mean, look at some of these losses lately in Welsh Ryan. Of these, you know, the Marcus Damask had the runner that almost fell, and the late shots, and that overtime game, and all this, all these terrible last minute losses. I would be miserable there. So I let Tyler be miserable. I'm one of the few people that sees Northwestern as a true rival. I'm one of those people that really does not like losing to them. I still have this view that they're the team in the Big Ten that doesn't care about athletics, and so they shouldn't ever win, and they should always be little brother. And yes, the 20 years of Northwestern football really dominating Illinois bothered me. And so I just can't, I just don't want to be at Walsh Ryan. I just don't want to be there. It just would not be fun for me. And so that's why I avoid it.
Wow, I never knew you'd be so driven by your emotions and your heart.
It's crazy, right? Who knew? Who knew?
Well, then I will tell you that, A, they did a nice job in their renovation of the arena.
I wouldn't know what it looked like before or after.
And it's very loud.
Yes.
It feels Mackie loud, even though the capacity is, I don't know what it is. I'm guessing 7,000 or so, 7,000, 8,000.
And that's bad because I enjoy Rutgers. I like watching a game at Rutgers. They have a great little arena in the same in the same vein. But I just, I don't know, every time I think of it, I'm like, it would be awful. And maybe some of this is like Tyler telling the story. Tyler lives up in the Chicago area, so it's easy for him to cover the games at Northwestern. And I enjoy reading what he writes about those games. But it's maybe a little shaded by the fact that Hill sent me text like, this was terrible. This was so miserable. I did not have any fun tonight. It was just, you know, we're almost going to win, almost going to win, almost going to win, didn't win. And it's, then you have all these Northwestern fans going crazy. So I'm sticking with it for a while. I will have seen a game everywhere, even at Ryan Field. I'm okay watching a football game there, but I just can't go to Walsh Ryan. Can't do it.
Okay, but it's a little dumb.
It's very dumb.
Okay.
It's very dumb, but it's, I gotta be me.
That's true. You are not you if you're not you.
Yes.
Gotta and you are true me. To yourself.
Yes.
Which is something that is mostly endearing.
Mostly. 73% endearing.
I'm going to posit, though, that playing at Northwestern on Wednesday night is maybe going to be tougher than playing at Iowa. Because Carver Hawkeye, I'm told, I haven't been there since I was in high school. But it got loud, from the sound of it, and Northwest, it can get ear splitting in there. They want to beat Illinois,
yep.
And Illinois is going to have it now, has the target on their back.
Sure,
they have now for several seasons.
Yep,
when they go on the road.
Yep,
but Illinois has a chance to be 4-0 on the road to Big Ten.
Yep,
against Northwestern, which is not, they're just an okay team this year. Just to be honest, they're 8-8 overall, and they just lost to Rutgers at the rack in overtime. Gosh, that's Rutgers' second straight overtime win at home.
Yep,
and they laid it in. But Martinelli is crazy good.
Yeah,
he's one of those players like, how are you that? Oh my, you just are that good. I guess.
Yeah, he's the YMCA guy that can score in 37 different ways and frustrates you when he does it. Yeah, I mean, they've lost to Minnesota at home. They lost they lose to Ohio State back in December at home. And so it's just a fine, we've lost up there recently, but this one has to be a win. This one, that would be a really terrible loss on Wednesday if Illinois were to lose this because, KenPom, they are currently 61. So
77 in the net.
Yeah, I mean, last year they were, you know, the last few years they've been better, ranked in the 40s. What does this say? The last 3 years in KenPom, they've been 38, 41, and 44. So for them to be in the 60s now, this is a step below kind of Northwestern team, and it should be a step above Illinois team, and that should be a win.
Yep, I agree. All right, when does the portal close for football?
16th, I believe.
Okay, we got a few more days.
Yep.
Since we've last looked at this, the Illini have added some players. I like that they've added a former professional baseball player.
Sure, why not?
To be an edge rusher, Will Holmes from Utah State. Alex Perry is a wide receiver that's coming from Florida International, and he had a really good season down there. I am assuming, and assuming only, or presuming? Assuming or presuming?
Presuming.
What's the difference?
This is where we go to Maisie again because she's the student. Like we're 25, we're 30 years removed from those classes, Scott. We're not supposed to remember that stuff anymore. All right, we're going to Maisie.
What do you got?
We're going to Maisie.
All right, so I'm just guessing here. So giving the prefix pre, right? Mm-hmm. Presuming, you're guessing ahead of time, but then assuming would be more present, maybe.
I'm going
I don't
with
know.
It.
Actually, no.
Different. I believe it. And I'm trust. She's a student. She goes to class. She learns these things. I trust her.
Presume, assume means to suppose without evidence, while presume means to suppose with some evidence or probability.
Mm.
All right, then I am going to presume.
Okay.
I am going to presume that Alex Perry is going to be a top receiver for Illinois.
Yes, you would think so. Although based there's that thing of like, you know, Hudson Clement came in and was a big part of it, but then the second year he's probably going to be a huge part of it. There's always that thing of like multi-year transfer that next year is bigger. So
fair.
We'll see. We'll see what that looks like.
Fair.
I think the biggest thing in the portal is the departure of Angelo McCollum. Like, he was set to be the next star. I've said this several times. It's the single biggest portal loss for Illinois since the portal opened.
I agree. And that caught me by surprise. But again, I don't have much evidence for knowing the why.
Yep.
And that's where you don't assume. I should say you can't presume, because you don't have much evidence. You would assume there's some offer out there for him that's better for whatever reason.
Yes. Yes. And
I also would not assume, again without evidence, that there's some problem internally with the defensive line coach Terrence Jamison or something. You just can't go there because there's so much churn in the portal now.
Given the program he signed with, Texas A&M, and given what they did with the kicker from Illinois, and
two for one?
Yes, that you can assume that...
You don't have much evidence.
Yes, you can assume that, look, this is the big thing with NIL and the portal right now, is the rules changed. It was the Wild West until July 1st, and that's when it came in that there was revenue sharing, and then there's these set budgets for revenue sharing. On top of that, players can get actual NIL. And it's no secret that at a place like Texas A&M, there will be more opportunities for actual NIL, which is the local coffee shop wants David Alano to hold up the coffee cup and say, I only drink
when I need Billy's my morning coffee. Kick.
Yes, yes.
See what I just did
you
there?
You should be writing these things, Scott.
Free for you, David. Go to Naperville North.
Obviously, at a place like, we've talked about this on the pod, obviously at a place like Texas A&M, there's going to be more opportunities than Champaign. There just is. You look at the number of people subscribed to websites for Texas A&M versus Illinois. There's just going to be, it's Texas and it's A&M, and there's going to be fan interest. So that's obviously going to bring about, just like for Ohio State, there's going to be more opportunities for the, you know, a defensive lineman to do actual advertisements and things that would bring actual, you know, profit on your name, image, and likeness above what you get from the revenue share. So you get revenue share, everybody has the same budget. Above that is actual NIL, and what schools can offer is going to differ. There's also the thing that some of these kids are signing contracts that say, and they've been reported out there, that, hey, there's NIL opportunities here. You know, there was that famous quote from the Texas A&M NIL contract that was signed that was written in this very lawyerly language of, you know, it's not guaranteed you're going to make an additional $1 million on all these NIL deals, but if everything goes as to plan, this is what you're going to get. So we've seen articles in the last few weeks of, like, you know, some of these kids are signing contracts that say, here's your revenue share, that's locked in, you're going to get that. Then here's what you're going to earn above that. And a lot of these schools are just saying, like, oh, here's a number you're going to earn above that. But it's not a guarantee. That's a guess. And I don't know if you know this, but in
they
college
might be
athletics.
Presuming, in
yes,
fact.
Yes. And so those assumptions are well and above what these players might. And then, of course, there's the other layer of these donors who want to come in and be like, okay, well, if you can work that NIL deal and have this where he's going to go speak to the Boys and Girls Club and he gets paid $150,000 to do that, can we make that work? And then it's, oh, well, that has to go to the clearinghouse now. And then it's, oh, do we really have to ask the clearinghouse? And that's the chaos of college football right now. But the bottom line is, yes, at other programs, there are other opportunities that may not exist in Champaign, just like there are opportunities in Champaign that wouldn't exist at Wake Forest for some player. You know, there's all these tiers, and when players are leaving for a place like Texas A&M, it's likely that they have promised them a lot more than than what just they're getting from that revenue share. They're being promised, and will they make it? Will they not make it? Who knows? But that's the gray area.
It could also be the person they're dating is at that school, and they
absolutely.
Go, you never know.
Yes, yes.
But Illinois is trying to reload on the defensive line and some other places, and they brought in some intriguing. We should probably get into a future episode. I know there's probably you're probably already thinking through the two deep.
100%. It's all up here.
Yeah,
I can give it to you right now.
No,
top of my head.
Okay. No.
I mean, if you want to.
No, no, okay. No. I mean, we got to save it for future.
There were 17 people out there that just said to their screen and or podcast app, yes, please go into it.
I'm not refusing, but I really am saying no.
Yes. Okay. Well, I was presuming that you. Anyway, continue. Continue.
All right. I don't know where I had to go after that. I just. That sort of seemed to be one of the big headlines. Do want to give a shout out to Sophia Beckman, Illinois All-American long jumper. We, in a recent episode, talked with Petros Kipriano. They had their meet over the weekend here in the Armory.
On the other side of that wall.
And she is now currently the world leader in her long jump after going 6.81 meters or 22 feet, 4.25 inches. That's really long. It's also the NCAA and Big Ten lead and program's second furthest jump. So there, congratulations. That happened, right? Feet from where we are. Yards, meters.
Do you think if I went out there, I could get 10 feet?
No.
I bet I could get 10 feet.
No, you could not. Long jump?
We have a track star. All right, Maisie, we're bringing you in again. Could I, with a running start, get 10 feet on a long jump?
I
she's trying to be nice. I love it.
I would love for you to get 10 feet.
That is a great way to answer. Great,
like do, that is do you perfect. Do you get time to train or just right now? Let's go out there.
Like just right now, go out there.
No shot.
Full speed jump. And then there would probably be some like kind of, you know how they kind of tumble now? They don't really land on their feet in this. There's kind of a twist as you get into the sand. I bet I could clear 10 feet.
No, I mean, how is it, Maisie? It's the back of your heels, right?
Yeah, it's the back of your heels land, and you want your butt to meet right where the back of your heels are so you don't sit back any farther and lose inches, feet. Anything.
I mean, you were in track in high school. What did you jump in long jump?
Oh, I'm trying to think back. I think my PR was 17.6, so 17 feet 6 inches, which nowhere near Miss Beckman over here. But I was proud of it my senior year. But so with that being said,
you should be proud.
I mean, did 17.6 get you to state?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, there you go. I bet I get 10. I bet I get 10.
I'm just telling you, and I'd be happy to record an attempt at some point. I am telling you, maybe if Petros would let you try. Maisie, would you agree to quote you?
Mm-hmm.
Would you be able to clear 10 feet? I would say no, 100%. 100%. Maisie, are you being too nice to him?
I'm not getting that.
I think I'm nice, but mm-hmm. I think it could be fun to go check. I think you can rent out the space for a little bit. So I think that could be a fun bonus episode. Bonus episode two.
I love it. I'm getting myself in trouble now because that would be on video. And that lack of distance would be so funny to people.
You know what?
I better shut up soon.
100%. It would be.
It's 10 feet. It's 10 feet.
I would be worried for your safety.
It's
you're gonna
10
pull
feet.
Things. You're going to pull things. Okay.
Okay.
When we come back, we've got some questions to answer, and we will tell you who's going to be on our next episode. I would say somebody significant in the world of Illinois athletics. Fair enough. We'll do that right after this. Light the Eye, brought to you by the U of I Credit Union.
As Scott just mentioned, our sponsor, The title sponsor, the presenting sponsor of Light the Eye, is U of I Community Credit Union. They're here in the Research Park. They have branches in Danville. They have branches in Bloomington Normal. They're here on campus. And we are very thankful to them for being our sponsor. You are going to hear a lot more about them and from them as we continue with this podcast. But just want to take a moment in the middle of the episode to talk about them and to talk about the BlockEye card. Having a debit card for our business account for the podcast that we could, you know, flash around the orange and blue, or I could flash it in Iowa City yesterday, but I probably don't want to do that because Scott probably doesn't want to pay for my lunch in Iowa City. But it's really important to me to have orange and blue in my wallet. And that's what having an account with them offers. You can check them out online. You can check their branches here in Urbana and in Champaign and in the Union for any students. So thank you again to U of I Community Credit Union for being our presenting sponsor.
One more Illini item of note from the past weekend. Illinois Swimming and Diving was in West Lafayette for a meet against Purdue, and Matilda Garcia put herself in the Illini record books with the second best 3-meter dive performance ever with a 325.95, second best in program history. She also took silver at the event, so congratulations to her. All right, we always appreciate the feedback, the comments, the questions that come our way, whether it's in a YouTube comment or you can email us at lighttheeyepodcast@gmail.com, lighttheeyepodcast@gmail.com, or you can DM us through Twitter at light_the_i. So we appreciate that. Maisie, you got something for us?
This one is coming from Tim J. 8484 on YouTube, and he is asking you guys, this is referring to football, by the way, who are your top 3 to 5 guys that you think need to make big leaps for us to sustain success?
3 to 5 guys. I mean, I you want to give some? Do you have any in mind? I will.
Yes.
Give, okay.
I mean, the first thing is the edge rushers.
Yes.
So a combo of Joe Barna.
Yep.
Pat Farrell. Yeah. Is he kind of middle? He's interior.
Yeah, Farrell. I mean, he would be the number one guy for me, like, hearing that question, because, and again, we're recording this as players are arriving in the portal, so this could all change the next few days. But Pat Farrell is at this point, the only returnee with a ton of snaps after all of these departures. And so he's going to be, like,
in the interior.
Yes, in the interior, on the defensive interior.
Yeah. And Joe Barna, and I'm taking this not necessarily somebody who has to make a huge leap skill-wise or so. You know, it's just that you're going to probably have to be the guy that...
I mean, he's replacing Gabe Akers. So yeah. It's like, really...
But it's not saying, well, you weren't cutting it. I'm just saying...
Yep.
You know, and
but if he makes the leap, if he or Daniel Brown makes a leap on the edge, that's a huge, huge thing. Defensive interior, we're still waiting to hear more names of defensive lineman transfers. But yeah, Pat Farrell would be number one. Like, if I could pick one player on the entire roster to be like, okay, what if pick one guy to make a leap up to second team all Big Ten next year, you know, out of nowhere, kind of that kind of season, it's Pat Farrell by far, because somebody's going to have to anchor that interior of the defensive line. Yep. Offensive side of the ball.
It's hard for me to say, well, this person has to step up because they're importing on the offensive line. So what are they stepping from?
Yes, but, yes, yes.
Nathan Knopic, who basically redshirted for the year.
Yep. And then started against Tennessee in the bowl game.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be huge.
Yep. Yeah, that would be massive. And I think, you know, you've got to find somebody to replace Christian Arkin. So if somebody like Abney... you know, the tight end who played more and more as each game went by, if he could be the guy to...
You said Christian Arkin.
Oh, sorry, Christian Abney Tanner Arkin.
Yeah, I don't know if you were modifying Arkin with Christian.
I was just putting them together in this amalgamation of, I need a tight end next year. I need somebody who's going to be the TE1, if you will.
Yeah.
And if Christian Abney could do that, that would be a huge moment. You know, that's, you know what you're going to get at receiver. All the tailbacks appear that they're coming back. You know, there's the transfer quarterback, offensive line, like you mentioned, there's all these transfers coming in, three JUCOs coming in. Who knows what that's going to be? I would also say if like a player to make a leap would be Brandon Hansen. It'll be his third year. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be at right guard next year.
Isn't that
year.
Where he's repped the most?
Yes, yes. I mean, they tried him at tackle some practices we attended. He would bounce back and forth between tackle and guard. But, yeah, if they could maybe even put him at left guard as the replacement for Josh Geske, that would probably be a massive thing. So put him on that list of guys to step forward. And then I'm going to go with a senior guy that has played but still waiting out for the breakout, and that would be Mac Resetich. If Resetich could come out of nowhere and anchor the defensive secondary with Matt Bailey, then that would be massive, massive. So, yeah, give me who am I taking? I'm taking Pat Farrell, I'm taking Brandon Hansen, I'm taking Mac Resetich, and I'm taking Christian Abney.
And I said Joe Barna.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
That's 3-5.
Yes. And Barna, you know, only has to replace the Big Ten sack leader. No big deal.
Okay. Now do baseball.
Okay. For baseball.
No. All right. We don't have time for that.
Don't
That's
have
another
time.
Episode. But okay. Hey, baseball's not too far away.
For baseball, I would do the thing of like, why don't you go first, Scott?
Mm-hmm. All right.
As the announcer who knows every name. Sorry, play-by-play guy, not announcer. What do you say?
I'm the
baseball play-by-play guy. Yeah, it's play-by-play. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Broadcaster.
Broadcaster. That's good. That works.
Yeah.
I like it.
New word for you.
Illini baseball broadcaster, Scott.
Getting all kinds of language lessons on this episode of Light the Eye.
How presumptuous of me.
Ready for the big reveal? Our next episode, our guest will be Illinois Athletic Director Josh Whitman. Next month will mark 10 years on the job. He officially started in March of 2016. He was hired in February of 2016.
And what a start by firing the football coach on his first day and hiring his replacement a day later. That was he started off with a bang, let's
yeah.
just say.
Yeah, you gotta be decisive.
Yep.
That's for sure. You gotta be who you are, Robert.
Yes. Yes.
All right, so we look forward to bringing you that. Until then, we wish you all well. Please let us know if you're listening and watching. Feedback is always appreciated. And most importantly, like and subscribe. It helps us. For producer Maisie Garrett and for Robert Rosenthal, I'm Scott Beatty. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you again next time on Light the Eye.